Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
They need no introduction. They're the regulars of the GRT. Let's say what's happening to Vaughn Thiel.
Yeah, man, I'm all good, bro.
There he is. I'm Vaughn was just showing me you are in love with the French Bulldog.
French Bulldog, bro. That's my favorite dog. I have to get one of those.
Maybe we'll surprise you on the show one
day. Shut up.
Surprise. Mangs, what can we surprise you with? What would you like?
$1 million. Nah, for now I'm good.
You can have any animal or any pet.
What did you go for? Today's International Snake Day. So.
Oh, I don't think we would ever do that.
No. Freak me out. No, I'm good, thank you.
Schmang's in the building, Vaughn in the building, and very special guest star Byron Major. In 30 seconds, how would you intro Byron Major?
Byron Major, Soultronic creator. Soultronic defined as 21st century electronica married with acoustic music of the 1900s. I'm a creator. I'm starting my own genre. Just like hip-hop, it's a culture, it's a lifestyle. And people are going to be copying me for years to come.
Fantastic. There you go. It's now in a podcast that lives forever and ever and ever. So you got to live up to it now. All right. I want to kick in actually with music. And I was speaking to a friend over the weekend, and they were like showing me their garage band, and they've like composed albums, and they have like gone wild. And it sounded amazing. And I was like, and they were like, yeah, they just sort of watched a little bit of stuff on YouTube, and they started making music. The barriers to entry to making music, like every beat of a song and every way that a lyric sounds, those barriers are like non-existent anymore.
That's correct, man. I was just at Music Mate. It's like a local music store in Pretoria, also in Johannesburg, and I met with a guy who got his music played on 5, and he was just working there and very to himself, and he had Ableton open, and I'm a Logic guy, so this is just a music programming software, and he showed me you can import the audio into this program, and then it converts it into MIDI, and you can convert that into any drum sound or any piano sound or any synth sound you want. So kids nowadays, you just need the imagination and the will. And I'm like schooled on music a bit too much for my own good, and I just think like, geez, like, so now I'm doing a DJ course. I'm trying to just branch out a bit, because I mean, if you look at the industry now, guys are more spokesperson for their own creativity than actual musicians or artists, or they're better businessmen than they are anything else. And they know how to portray that to the public.
Vaughn, you've turned your whole house into a recording studio. You were telling me a week ago or something.
Yeah, man. It's like a trap house now, bro. But yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's crazy. I was at Music Mate and Tom's and buying equipment. And yeah, but like in 2 days, I figured out how to be a sound engineer in inverted commas. I had to set all that stuff up. And it's fairly easy. YouTube tutorials, figured out Logic Pro X. Yeah, we've been recording since, man. And it's all just on our own. And it's crazy though, but at the same time, as easy as it is to set up and actually, you know, being able to access different sounds and, you know, have an imagination and whatnot, there is a fair amount of skill that you need to have to be able to navigate quickly around the software and to know how to, you know, auto-tune, normalize, and do all these different things that are not easy to find, although you can use YouTube and you can use these things and you can eventually figure it out. But yeah, there's a certain comfortability that you need to develop, and I think I've seen some sound engineers that are so good, they do it with their eyes closed, you know, and they really get the job done quickly. And so there's a degree of skill that is always required, and also, though, a degree of talent, you know, because you know, it's like football. You know, you everyone can go play soccer. You know, you can all put on boots and buy a ball and go play 11v11. But the cream will always rise to the top. You know, so you got to really have some sort of talent and the dedication to get better at what you're doing. So the noise is there, but it does filter out eventually. I think when you get to the higher you go up the level, you know, the best usually come to the forefront.
But don't you think now, with sort of the advent of, you know, all this technology that is available to people, which is also like relatively inexpensive, you know, if you've got a decent laptop and you can get your hands, I mean, you can get a cracked program online and get your hands on production programs and that kind of thing, that it almost makes it like seem as if like the craft, not that it's not respected, but it almost makes it seem as if it's quite generic and everyone can do it, and we're not getting that like immaculate production, or at least immaculate quality product, as we maybe did in, you know, if you look at Michael Jackson's like Off the Wall or whatever, like, you know, some of the more old school guys, you know, or some of the guys, like even I think even Kanye, he almost went back to his the way he produced music with Life of Pablo, instead of, you know, having a strong focus on using technology and that kind of thing. Do you ever find that?
Yeah, man. I think, how do I put it? It's like the intention that people put into the work that they do.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the audience or the public's fault for consuming that. It's just what they know. It's just like America, the food that they get, it's all processed, but they don't know anything else necessarily for some sectors of the society, depending on, you know, where you live and your class. And that's just the way it is. But for me, I listen to Classic FM in my car, and I've always listened to classical music and Mozart, but you hear the music that I'm producing, and I don't listen to music in this. I'm a secondhand, like you, secondhand smokers. You know, I listen to secondhand music that way. I consume like that. I don't necessarily know what the newest song is or what, but I know I got broads in Atlanta. Okay, yeah, that's what you guys are talking about. Okay, sharp. But I'm gonna interpret that my own way. I've already reached my threshold of, okay, this is music, and I've understood it like this, and I know that I need to be me to portray it in the right way. And other cats are just trying to portray what they see. So I'm going to put this 808 here, this kick drum, this snare, and this trap hi-hat, and then I'm going to do this auto-tune here and here, and then, you know, that guy's wearing those cool shoes, so now I feel cool about myself because I'm joining the collective consciousness. But to stand on your own and do something that's innovative, like Kanye West, like Outkast, like Michael Jackson, like Quincy Jones, like Sergio Celibidache, like anybody else.
Byron Major.
Thank you. For now, but I mean, for me, I'm sitting at home, I'm doing my masters, I'm doing short courses, I'm trying to hone the sound and the vision. And for me, I don't just want to rush into it and be like, hey, look at me, put 200,000 on the plate and go to Fifth Season or go to these guys and, you know, come easy, go easy, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. I like that, man. It's like you're dedicated to a bigger picture. It's cool. You know, the one thing I want to ask, though, is you say you produce your sessions, you produce your beats, you write your lyrics, you do everything like that. That's dope. But there's an element that I need to understand. And it comes in where a producer sometimes is a little bit more than what people generally think a producer is. He doesn't really just sit behind the computer and engineer the session or mix and master the tracks. He actually provides an objective point of view on the music. So he'll say, oh, man, I don't know about, or what about this? Or having some sort of a team around that can say, yo, maybe change these lyrics to this, or change the concept to this. Or, you know, just that input, you know, do you have that? Or is it something that you completely own on your own? And I don't know, do you feel that it's something that you might need?
I've gone through that creative process over the years.
Okay.
Whether it be teachers, lyric writing teachers, vocal teachers, collaborators, band members. I've done all of that. And then I've kind of got to a point where I look at Pablo Picasso, where I look at Salvador Dali, and I think these guys stand in front of a canvas with paint. And then there's a masterpiece at the end. There's no middleman, or there's no, hey, try this blue, try. And then that's the type of truth that I want to portray.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm aiming for, really. Yeah.
Is it? Do you feel that it's more difficult with music because there's so much.
We haven't done it yet.
Yeah, because there's so many more elements. I mean, not to take anything away from actual like artists or visual artists. You know, obviously that takes a lot of hard work and inspiration, dedication, everything.
Yeah.
But they just, I suppose, interpret the world as they see it, and then put that on a canvas, and by and large don't really give a shit what anyone says or thinks about it until it's out there, you know what I mean? But as a musician, it's a bit of a process, because you, the assumption is that you want your music to be consumed by a lot of people. You want it to be heard on the radio. You want it to be podcasted and all of these things. Do you?
I mean, that's what I want. I definitely want that in a certain time in my life. But right now, this is the journey that I'm walking.
Yeah.
I want to be a conductor of an orchestra, a leader of a band and all of that. But for now, this is the truth that I want to show to other cats, and we can do it if we believe.
Okay.
And this is the vision that we can really achieve. And I look at like Mozart, and sorry, looking like Mozart, they all drew on manuscript, and for them they needed an orchestra. And I imagine those guys had technology. Like, what would music sound like, or Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles, if they just were one man with logic, the programs, the monitors, and the vision? What would music be like?
How does like making stuff commercial fit into all of this?
It doesn't fit into it. It can't. It has. I've tried.
How do you pay your bills?
I don't.
Okay.
And eventually I will. And I sit so many times. I mean, it's like ups and downs and mood swings. And I look and I'm like, I was just on the internet now and I was looking at Gemini Major, who also had Byron Major. So I was like, wow, your music sounds so good, but it sounds so much like everything else. Oh, my music sucks because it doesn't sound like anything. There's no reference point at the moment for me. And that's the journey that I've... Because I know the music, it doesn't really matter about that. People want to connect with you. So I need to connect with myself and my own person. And that will portray nicely when the time comes, you know.
So there's something you want to teach the people listening? Is there like a message that you'd like a consumer to absorb from what you put out? Is there something like that?
I think it's the sense of, for me, God is a big part of my life. God, the universe, collective consciousness, my higher self. And I use music and my creative expression to connect with that. And I would like that to be my legacy. And sharing that with other people is great. I'm just speaking my own truth. And there's a lot of music that I look up to nowadays, but I don't necessarily... I think we need to put on our blinkers like horse races, you know, and just run our race.
Absolutely.
We so worried about what's going on around us that we forget.
That's dope.
Sorry. Do you have then that added pressure? You know, when I think of, just to make it relatable, I think of someone like Coolie China. He was telling us recently that he's at a tricky stage, but he feels as if he's making his debut album again because, you know what I mean, he's done it all and he's heard everything on the radio now and he's heard the sound and he's just like, I'm not really comfortable or I'm not happy about, you know, what I'm hearing.
I can relate exactly to that. Yeah. It's just this point of like, I get it.
Yeah.
Now let me do me.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
to get it, you have to consume. I want to be just like you. I want to write this beat. Okay, let me do that just exactly like that. Let me do that phrase like that. And then that becomes you. And then all of that collected, eventually it's like, okay, you can be yourself now and you can forget it all. But I mean, I've spent over millions of rands in my education and I haven't got any of that back yet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure. But I don't necessarily feel I just connect with my family, my friends that I have. I post my music on Facebook. No one likes it just yet. I don't get that type of response. No one seems to just yet connect with the vision as I do. But I have my close family, my mother, my father, my friends, my grandparents, and that see it and that believe in it.
Okay.
And that's all important.
I need. Yeah, I have like a friend like Nape. Nape, that was on this reality show.
Yeah, we know him. Yeah, he was on Boozy Rich Kids. Yeah.
Yes. Just last night I was on SoundCloud and he's in LA now. I've seen on Instagram and he followed me on SoundCloud and I was like, it's just those type of, like for me, I knew him from his Crawford days and just, we were writing songs together and stuff and just to have that type of reassurance. I don't need it from 100 notifications a day. But just that one little baby step every time is enough. And paying the bills, I'm going to be the richest guy in Africa. I'm going to be president of South Africa. You know, that's my goals.
Because
this vision needs to be shared with everybody.
Yeah.
Because what type of world would we live in if we just get up, create our own radio show, create everything else, all on the app, create the app, get the music, get the money for the app, create the app where you can download your album from yourself. People can buy it directly from you. Forget about PayPal. Forget
you
about
had me until president, bro. Then you swerved it.
Yeah, but no one talks about it. No one wants to be president. Who says, I want to be president? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a No one says those things anymore. It's okay just to say it. The least you'll get from God and the universe and from yourself is like, well, there's that. Well, he has a really nice job with a really nice car and a really nice house and a really nice family. You might not have got that, but thank you for dreaming and thank you for contributing.
Yeah. You know, you know J. Cole, right? Obviously, you know J. Cole, yeah. So J. Cole is like one of my favorite artists of all time. I love J. Cole. And like I just kind of like read a lot about these guys and sort of, you know, because I appreciate the mindset of artists. You know, even being a creative myself, like, I get, like, you know, people see the world differently and creatives see the world differently. And it's interesting to me to see a creative, and that's why I follow their stories, you know, go into the world with this different mindset and figure out how to navigate in this, like, capitalist sort of commercial society and how to actually get what they want ultimately across to the people, right, through their art. So a big part of J. Cole's story, and I think there's a couple others, I mean, Steve Harvey was a comedian, he also, you know, spoke about the same thing, and it was about, like, in Steve Harvey's words, he said, when I can make them laugh, I've got their attention, and when I've got their attention, I can teach them something. And you know, that approach is similar to what J. Cole had to go through when he signed for Roc Nation, and, you know, the whole pressure of being on a major and, you know, things like singles and radio-friendly music and whatever the case is, because Cole was never really that artist. And, yeah, he kind of had to get to a point where he had the ears and the eyes on him to actually bring across this message that he has. He needed to, you know, release a Who Dat, like a isn't a good thing. One night stand. What's that track again?
That's from Thornton, isn't it?
Nah, from Sideline Story.
Sing it again, I'll Shazam you.
I can't remember the song now. Is it just a one night stand? Can't Get Enough with Trey Songz.
Yeah.
A couple of these, like, not really Cole kind of music. And when you interview him, he's like, dude, I couldn't.
Right.
Like, I had to do this, you know, to make the people listen. Do you think that's something that, you know, because, I'm also, like, in my mind, I also, like, fuck the system, you know. I hate the system, and I think it's a lot of shit, but at the same time, I feel like the wisest people in the world have found ways to use this predetermined formula or system to success, and have used it to their advantage, and then got to the position that the system can take them to, and then said, yo,
flipped it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do you think perhaps it would make sense in your context? Have you thought of that route? Have you tried that route? I don't know. Like, just interested to hear your point of view.
Yeah. I mean, we got taught, like, we would go in a class and there'd be, the teacher would bring in a Lady Gaga song and we'd be like, how to write a hit song.
Jeez.
Yeah. Sure.
And then we would destruct the song and the lyrics and the form, the harmonic progressions, everything. Yeah. And for me, I just released on my SoundCloud now a song that I produced when I was 16. And it's got the most response out of all the songs that I've released this year so far.
That's crazy.
And then I'm thinking, geez, I don't like the song, but I have to embrace that creativity and that side of me. But for me, that J. Cole experience has all happened in the confines of my own mind and my own room. I haven't had the 1,000 fans to be like, wow, you guys like my music, let me flip it. I've done that and people still haven't liked it. And then I've thought, okay, now what?
You've really just got to do your own thing.
Yeah, I feel you.
But you know what I'm saying?
But there's it in your sort of context, do you not feel that you need that massive radio hit, or you know what I mean? You need that big club banger, you know, everyone is going to bump in the club in South Africa and across the continent.
Yeah.
In order for them to stand up, in order for you then to make the music that you really want to, you know what I mean? Kanye West could never have made, you know, all this, like, you know, his fashion label and all of that, had he not been as massive a musician or rapper and producer as he is, surely.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a bit of a double-edged sword because on the one hand, you don't want to sell out to yourself, but you need to almost give and take in order to completely then fully express yourself.
Yes, and I'm getting into that. Yeah. That's the reason why I'm doing like a DJ course because I need to, and learning in Ableton. You know, because my idols, guys like James Blake and etc., they would use that program. So I think, okay, that's at least that sound. That's what I'm trying to achieve. And when it comes to my music, I hear what's going on. I mean, I'm not coming here with leaves and I'm dressed in leaves. I still know what clothes look like. I still know what Adidas looks like. You know what I'm saying? I will get there, but it's a progression.
Yeah. Progression.
And it's like my maturity that needs to grow with me. Some guys get it so easy. They just flip the switch one day, they go onto the internet, they go buy a beat from Manchester, they buy it for $200, they put their vocals on it, they master it, and hey, there's the banger. But for me, that's not it.
It's not going to be a process. All right, we got to take closing remarks. We'll leave the best for last with you, Byron. Schmang's closing remarks.
What I've learned in my last couple of years in figuring out exactly what it is that my purpose, you know, is in life and what I want to do with the things that I make, is that it's a give and take. So in order for me to make short entertainment format content to be consumed on digital platforms, I need to perhaps then, you know, go and make a show for SABC1 to get that money, you know what I mean, or to get my name out there so that people can trust me, like, you know, we can trust Schmangs and his production company in order to make that fantastic product. And there's no shame in it. Like, I used to just like feel a bit ashamed about selling out, you know, within inverted commas, selling out, but there really is no shame in it, in the sense that no one has ever said Michael Jackson is a sellout, but Michael Jackson was like the ultimate pop star ever. You know what I mean? So I think it's a case of just believing in your art and being able to just maneuver around some of these challenges, like selling out or like, you know, putting out music that you might not necessarily like, but it's what needs to happen now in order for you to get to the next
where you want
to
go,
next level.
Vaughn?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Schmangs, but I think my closing remarks would be that I think some of the most successful people in the world, specifically in the arts, were able to balance art and ego like fairly well, you know. And I think like it's a great formula to success, to be able to take yourself from outside of yourself and try to find a healthy balance between what might appeal, what might not, but at the same time not sacrificing a major part of what makes you you, because at the end of the day you can sacrifice what makes you you once or twice, but you know, if people buy into it and then buy an album, or you know, 3 years later figure out who you really are, they're actually more disappointed than they would be if you put out your real self in the beginning. So it's really about just finding that healthy balance, but never really sacrificing what it is that makes you who you are as an artist or as a businessman or as a person.
Mr. Major, final thoughts.
Yes, sir. I like both of those remarks. Balance is great. We all need that. I need that. And I like this idea. I just want to bring integrity back to selling out. And it's okay to sell out. But to sell out, you have to know what the opposite of selling out is to really do it properly. Don't come from a point of ignorance and sell out, because then it's not really going to work. So I just want to get my tools in order, get my canvas going, get the lights going, and create that masterpiece that South Africa is just going to connect with. And I'm doing it for everyone, including myself. It's not for me. It's not intended for me. It's not for my ego. My ego will not be a part of any of that when it happens.
Stop. Yeah.
It's very emotive stuff. And yo, I thought we were going to speak about producer Kat's road rage problems in the gentleman's dance table. I didn't know it was going to take such a turn there. All right, that's very, very cool. It's Vaughan Thiel, Mangi Mbeleni, and Byron Major. Guys, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you so much.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Kelman on cliffcentral.com.